It's a kind of a coolish spring here in Chicago, and we are desperately waiting for it to warm up. And some companies are already planning for when it's going to be warm, beautiful summer in Chicago so we can once more return to the parks and see free Shakespeare. Beth Wolf, the artistic director of Midsummer Flight, is already in rehearsal for Love's Labor's Lost. Beth, how excited are you for rehearsals to have begun already?
So excited, and also it will be very exciting as it starts to come together. You know?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 964, Midsummer Flight Dream. Beth Wolf is the founding producing artistic director of Midsummer Flight, which is in rehearsal for its lucky 13th season production of Love's Labor's Lost, which will perform for free in parks throughout Chicago this summer of 2025. Free outdoor summer Shakespeare is one of my favorite things, so I was delighted to ask Beth whether creating a company dedicated to Shakespeare was her lifelong dream.
It was not always a dream, but it was born from a New Year's resolution. So I guess you could sort of say it was.
Oh my God, a dare gone bad?
No, not quite. So I was a co-founder and the former artistic director of another Chicago company called Promethean Theater Ensemble. This was in 2012 when Midsummer Flight started. And at the time there was an ensemble at that company. Some folks in that company weren't interested in Shakespeare. Not all of them, but some. And I really was, but I thought it was sort of poor artistic leadership to drag people where they didn't want to go. So in the beginning of 2012, I made a New Year's resolution to do a project that was just what I wanted to do, separate from that company. And I wanted it to be Shakespeare in the Park, because I had done Shakespeare in the Park as an actor. By that point, I had shifted my focus to directing, and I'd never directed Shakespeare in the Park, but I had done outdoor Shakespeare in college. I had done some in my 20s around Chicago, a company that's not been with us for many years called Ground Up Theater. So I wanted to do that, and I set out to just do one show. I made up the name Midsummer Flight because I didn't want to call it Beth Wolf Presents, but there wasn't actually a company. I got a free website and got some insurance in my name for the company just for the summer, but it wasn't a real company. And we just did a show. We did a Midsummer Night's Dream in one park in 2012.
So Midsummer Flight is not a quotation from anywhere. It's not a reference to something specific.
I mean, Midsummer, spelled with an O, because that's how it's spelled in the folio, because I'm a huge Shakespeare nerd, not surprisingly. Midsummer came from A Midsummer Night's Dream. But that first summer, I was doing A Midsummer Night's Dream. And so for a while in my head, I was thinking about it as the Midsummer Project, which was sort of a mouthful. And then I needed to come up with a name. I literally sat down and said, okay, I need a one-syllable word so that it scans as iambic.
Yeah.
This is how dorky I am. Mm-hmm. Midsummer Flight. But I came up with a whole list of words, one syllable words, to put in that where the word flight landed, and kind of tried a few on and decided which one I liked best. I liked Midsummer Flight because it has a lot of great connotations. We're taking flight. We have flights of fancy. Anytime we want to do, you know, we offer educational programs now. It's actor's flight. You get a flight of experiences or exposure to different directors or weapon styles and combat classes, things like that. So,
well, and doing theater at all, much less Shakespeare in the Park, is often on a wing and a prayer. So there is that. There is that connotation as well. Are things more challenging now because of the cuts in the NEA and the economic disruption being caused by the chuckleheads in charge?
Yes and no. The no part is we weren't getting NEA funding before, so we haven't technically lost anything, though we had sunk a couple years into NEA proposals working to break in. And this we had thought for a while, for the last, you know, 6 or 8 months, we had sort of been building a plan and we thought this was going to be our year. And then we were going to apply for Challenge America, which got cut even before, you know, the more recent sort of full, what feels like the full dismantling of NEA. Yeah. So we didn't lose funding in that regard, but things are getting harder everywhere.
Yeah.
City funding has been not great in Chicago, or not as consistent, I should say. In the private foundation area of Chicago, we've lost some, and other programs have come up to sort of replace those, but they aren't funding as many people or as many organizations. So it has definitely been a challenge. And I think we haven't yet seen all the trickle down from the NEA. You know, the NEA also funds the Illinois Arts Council. So we get Illinois Arts Council money, but I don't know what's going to happen there down the line.
How do you go about picking your season? Because I know you're not the only summer Shakespeare doing Love's Labour's Lost this summer. What appealed to you about that play this summer?
Well, it was some practical things and some, you know, creative things.
Sure.
On the practical side, we've been doing this since 2012. And so we've reached a point where we do have to repeat titles sometimes because... Mm-hmm. You know, he wrote 38 or 37 or 39, you know, depending on how you count. But they aren't all great for Shakespeare in the Park. Like, we'll never do Titus in the Park. That just doesn't feel like a fit. So we do repeat some titles, but I am still trying to intersperse years where we're doing shows we haven't done before. We've never done Love's Labors. And so adding another comedy to our list was appealing to me.
Right.
Personally, I hadn't worked on a production of this play since college when I acted in it. So it had been a minute and it was fun to go back and revisit it. But what I really love about it for this moment in time is that it is this really sort of dessert of a play for the most part. It's just a fluffy rom-com, you know, and we all need that right now. We need an escape. We need to come together and laugh. But what makes this play so unique is this weird ending where it's a comedy, but it doesn't end in marriage.
Right.
Spoilers for anyone who doesn't know this play. Marriage deferred, yes. Or a hope of marriage.
Yeah.
But they're all just having a grand old time, flirting and being silly and sort of forgetting the real cares of the world.
Yeah.
And then the real world knocks on the door and says, hey, the king, your father, is dead.
Yeah.
And the queen, or she's now the queen, the princess who becomes the queen in that moment, and her friends have to leave immediately. And I really love this notion that we all need the escape, we all need the laughter, we all need the sort of fluff, and that can recharge us so that when the real world comes knocking, we're ready to deal with it with grace and optimism, as they do at the end of this play. I think both are important right now in this moment.
Hello, this is Elizabeth Dennehy, otherwise known as Lieutenant Commander Shelby from Star Trek Next Generation. Welcome to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2025, we'll be touring all the great books abridged at various venues we will announce soon, and the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Beth Wolfe, the founding producing artistic director of Midsummer Flight, which opens its summer 2025 production of Love's Labor's Lost in June.
Mm-hmm.
producing Shakespeare is one thing. Producing Shakespeare in a park is one thing. Producing Shakespeare in a number of Chicago city parks is another thing, particularly in Chicago, where I assume there is already another, at least one other Shakespeare company touring to Chicago parks. How do you navigate that? Where do you find your actors and your artists? How do you do all that? You're the producer. You're the head mucky muck. How do you wear that many hats?
That's a great question. Thank you. So I have to give a lot of credit to our partner, which is the Chicago Park District. They have a program called Night Out in the Parks, where they have, I think it's over 100 arts partners who present free programming throughout the summer. So Night Out in the Parks has a whole application process. It starts in November. We submit our applications. There's funding, there's marketing support, as well as all of the liaising with the parks that they help us do.
Right.
So we submit in November, and then usually in February, they come back to us. So I already have to be planning our whole season on the hope that our application will go through. But we've been a partner for many years. So it's, I think it's safe to say it's a pretty safe bet most years. Yeah. But then they come back in February and let us know if they've approved the partnership formally. There is funding involved, which is really wonderful. And they help us coordinate with all of the parks. Midsummer Flight has been doing this long enough that we have parks we want to continue to visit every year. And even when we add a new park, I do my own vetting and go and walk around parks and figure out where we want to be, so that when I'm submitting an application, I'm saying, these are exactly the parks I want to be and on exactly these dates. And oftentimes I've reached out to the park supervisors preliminarily to say, this is what I'm submitting. If Night Out approves it, I hope these work for you. And then if they don't, I can adjust things before submitting.
So and when you're going to specific parks, that means you are returning to a specific audience that frequents those parks and are looking forward to you coming year after year. You're developing a relationship with a very specific audience, which is lovely.
Exactly right. In fact, one of our parks has been our park since 2012, since that very first production.
Amazing.
And then we've added more over the years, so that now we tour to six parks all over the city. So Night Out in the Parks really helps us navigate that we're not, you know, doubling up with other events in the parks, that if there are other companies doing Shakespeare, it gets spread out around the city. But we've been very lucky that they have accepted our proposal as I've proposed it, and have also helped when we needed a new park and couldn't quite find the right fit. They've helped us, you know, sort of find options.
Well, and as they say in Star Wars, the admin is strong with you, I'm guessing.
It is. It is. I wear both hats. So I direct our summer show. I love directing. It's the reason I do this work. But I'm in QuickBooks doing all of our bookkeeping. And when you get an e-blast, I'm sending that marketing email. Yeah. I'm doing a lot of the behind the scenes work. We've grown, thankfully, to where now I do have some contractors who help out in different specific areas. We have a PR guy who works on every production with us. I have a social media manager who manages our socials, which is great because I can't keep up with them. I have grant writers. I used to do all the grant writing myself as well, but for several years now, we've worked with this really great team of grant writers. So we've grown to have some help, but a lot of it is still me.
And you're a non-equity company, right?
Yes.
Where do you find your non? I mean, Chicago, happily, thankfully, is crawling with really talented non-equity actors. Where do you find them? How do you get them? Do you work with the same people year after year?
Some yes and some no. Most years we do have some returning folks. We have an ensemble, a Midsummer Flight ensemble, which is people who are sort of formally affiliated with the company. Mm-hmm. And usually we have a handful of our ensemble members in the show or involved in the show on the production staff. But then we hold auditions every year and we bring in new talent every year. Something that I love is because we are a small non-equity company, we often do get early career folks. For a lot of folks, they'll come in and say, oh, wow, this is my first Chicago show. And then they're going on and working at bigger places. Midsummer Flight over the years has become kind of a launching pad for folks. I'm very proud that we have actors who've worked with us and then gone on and worked at Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier and other, you know, big companies around the city. So, but we really just, we hold auditions and people come out for us. I think we've developed a reputation over a period of years now that we are one of the only companies, I mean, aside from like the big folks on the pier, one of the only companies that consistently is doing Shakespeare. And so we've made a name for ourselves that if people want to do classical work, I think we're one of the companies they look for.
You're a Shakespeare nerd. You said you're a folio nerd. Do you have does Midsummer Flight have a specific approach to the text, or whatever works for each actor is your way to go?
It's a little bit of both. So I personally have an approach and I teach it. I coach, I do workshops at Midsummer Flight. I've taught my own private classes before. During COVID, I did it over Zoom. And I have developed it over time to where I have a 12-page packet that I give to students of like, this is how I do text. But when we're working on a show, if I'm directing the show, I can't do that granular level of text work and also see the whole play. So we have another person who comes in as our text coach, which is usually the fabulous Meredith Ernst Merrifield, one of our ensemble members. She's our resident text coach. She's working on Love's Labor's Lost with us. And she is so smart and so skilled at this work. She and I see eye to eye on a lot of it, but she brings her own knowledge as well. And so we offer scheduled time in rehearsals for all of the actors to work with the text coach and get text work. But whatever works is what that actor should do. I'm not dogmatic about it. You don't have to do it my way. I provide a folio-based text, although it is cut. We do 90 to 100 minutes with no intermission. Yeah. But whatever works for you is what we do. My overall philosophy is it's not enough to understand the words, though you should understand your words. You have to speak the text in a way that the audience can understand it. And so whatever method works for you to accomplish that, I'm good with.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Midsummer Flight's summer 2025 production of Love's Labor's Lost runs from June 27th to August 3rd in parks around Chicago. Go to midsummerflight.com for more information. Then send us your favorite Spanish clown via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareance.com. Thanks as always to Land of Lincoln clown Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shoutout this week goes to Jimmy Klein. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Elizabeth Dennehy, proud supporter and board member of LA's independent Shakespeare Company, which is also doing Love's Labor's Lost this summer. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 964 2890 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I guess I want to get back to something you said about how you don't want to do Titus Andronicus. Maybe this is not the season for it. But Titus Andronicus in that park, couldn't that be powerfully cathartic? Maybe not family friendly. Maybe that's the reason not to do it.
It's the family friendly element. Yeah. We know that we're performing for a general audience. And while we will do sword fighting, we've done Macbeth in the park. So we're not afraid of violence. Yeah. We're not afraid of sex jokes because the adults get it and it goes over the kids' heads. Yeah. But Titus really calls for a lot of blood. And I don't know how we do that in the park in a way that feels respectful to the park space we're in.
Respecting the venue is a very important quality for sure.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.